League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everyone's still talking about the Oscars and Adrian Brody winning for Best Actor for The Brutalist. And one of the things that stuck out was the fact that as he was approaching the stage, he realized that he still had gum in his mouth. So he tossed it to his girlfriend, Georgina Chapman, and she just quickly grabbed it. And at first I was like, ew, you know, like, what are you doing? Just tossing your gum out of your mouth. You know this is happening. Why wouldn't you take your gum out before?
Well, you don't know you're winning. I mean, at least we like to think that he didn't know he was winning. But, I mean, what a move, huh? Like, listen, if your girlfriend is just catching your gum as you're tossing it at her, like, that's a pretty good. And I didn't see the actual video. Are we talking, like, a distance? Or did he take it out of his mouth immediately and put it in her hand?
Hold on, let me watch it. Watch it live.
Okay.
All right, let's watch it together.
All right.
Let's see here.
Throwing it really, you know, insinuates that you believe she's a good catch on top of it.
Film's first Oscar in this category for his role in The Pianist.
Oh, my God, it's far.
How far?
Oh, really far.
Like
10 feet.
Really?
Yeah. He tosses it like 10 feet to his girlfriend.
I mean, that's impressive for both of them. First off, it just says to me, they've got trust in each other. They've been there before somewhere.
It's almost like she anticipated it was coming.
Right.
She like started running after him as he was going up the stairs and he turned around in a panic and she was there at the bottom of the stairs with her hands open like softball, like she was ready to catch it, like she had a mitt on.
I want you to imagine that she catches it and then tosses it with a high arc to Conan O'Brien on the stage at that point. That's what they call a flea flicker in football, if you didn't know that. Pretty awesome move.
I was thinking about it, though, because it's kind of gross. But I was talking to my teenage daughter this past weekend because she was saying that there is this boy that he came to rehearsal and he had all hickeys on his neck.
Oh, boy.
I can't even believe that they still do that. That seems like something so 1987, 1995. Like, who still gives hickeys?
It's pretty barbaric, yeah.
But remember, also, you would exchange gum.
Oh, yeah.
If you were kissing somebody and you were chewing gum, then you would put the gum into their mouth. And that was, like, so risque.
Yeah, we thought all these moves were so great in high school, right? Like, if you're chewing gum and I ask for your gum and take it, it says that I intend for us to be going places.
Well, you
were a thing.
Yeah, you're a thing now. Like, you could only chew gum with, I believe, your children or your significant other.
Yeah.
There's nobody else that you could be like, oh, are you half done with that Bubblicious? I'll eat it now. Let me have some of that deliciousness.
Some people are really casual with it. I am not. How big was the wad of gum? You got to see it.
It
was
tossed 10 feet. I can't really. I would say it's like a Trident.
Okay, then it's not that big. Mm-hmm. Still sticky, though.
Yeah.
If that lands in somebody's hair, I want you to imagine he tosses it back, and by accident, it lands in Meryl Streep's hair or something.
I mean, people are wearing gowns that are tens of thousands of dollars, and he just throws a piece of gum like it's nothing. She's a champ, because she just caught it right away. She knew what was going down.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton wrote Jolene after a bank teller was hitting on her husband, Carl Dean. She announced yesterday that Carl, her husband of nearly 60 years, has passed away. And it made me so incredibly sad.
That's a sad moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Certainly for her, right? I mean, it's America's kind of country sweetheart that everybody loves and knows. And she's so open, right? So, you know, to see somebody go through public pain like that, it's difficult. How long were they together?
It's over 60 years.
Wow.
Trending is powered by Cricket. Switch to Cricket and get four lines for $25 a month each. It's a family plan. It's a friends plan. It's a whoever you want to share with plan. Welcome to Cricket Nation. So it's one of those things because Carl Dean never wanted to be in the public eye.
Right.
And for the most part, he wasn't, to the point where people didn't believe in like the late 60s, early 70s that he even actually existed. They thought that he was a person that she had made up to keep men offer.
That ain't your wife. Right? That ain't your husband.
Right. Like, who? You don't need, who is
you're
this person?
Right.
But they had met. She was 18 years old. She had just moved to Nashville to start her country music career. And she was walking out of a laundromat called the Wishy Washy. Mm-hmm. And he was walking by her and he just said hello. And he always says that he looked at her and knew that that was going to be his wife and the woman that he was going to spend the rest of his life with.
Well, not for nothing. Seems like Carl Dean was a smart guy. Mm-hmm. Hedged his bets. 18-year-old Dolly Parton. Yeah, lock that up.
Absolutely. She released in the statement, Carl and I spent many wonderful years together. Words can't do justice to the love we shared for over 60 years. Thank you for your prayers and sympathy. They were married in 1966. They didn't have any children together. I've gone down this rabbit hole many a times because I always find it fascinating when there is a celebrity couple. And there's not many, honestly, where one is super famous. And you don't get much more famous than Dolly Parton, right? And the other person is a relative unknown. You don't really know much about them at all.
Not a lot of times that it lasts that way very long.
Right.
At some point, one person, you know, might feel like they're in the shadow or they're outshined or whatever, right? So different lifestyles.
So I was thinking about it. I'm like, what actual couples? Because, you know, whenever you hear about celebrity couples breaking up, sometimes it hits you hard. You're like, oh, like this was sad. This was a love affair of a lifetime.
Right.
This is you lost your partner in life. It, you know, it's devastating. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, some of the greatest marriages in Hollywood are ones when one person is an unknown. Mm-hmm. Like Denzel Washington, his wife, Pauletta, you never hear about him. They've been married over 40 years.
Sure.
Oprah. Remember, she famously hides Stedman. They've been together for almost 40 years, too.
I mean, if you look at some big couples, too, even if they are both famous, like Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. Rita Wilson is not somebody who has been forefront a long time, right? So, you know, like there's, you know, again, it depends on how close you are to the sun, right? When one of those stars is so big and so bright, you know, it makes things different.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, I always find them fascinating because they refuse to get married. They don't get married. They just stay together and they say that's what's worked for them.
Yeah, yeah. And they've been doing that for 50 years or something like that. A very long time. Very long time.
All right, let's end this with another song that Dolly wrote for Carl.
From here to the moon and back. Who else in this world will love you like that?
Nice.
Plumber's crack. That's what they're calling the newest trend in jeans.
I mean, seriously, they can't really be a thing, right?
Stylist Lauren, you can find her on Instagram at @all_things_Lauren. Lauren, I saw this and I immediately became very concerned because I lived through the era where we wore the low jeans with the thong exposed. And I thought that was awful. The fact that just showing your behind is coming back into style with really low sagging jeans scares me a whole lot more.
I know, these Y2K trends that are coming back. Yep, it's definitely having a resurgence.
So wait a minute, though. Let me get some clarity here. I mean, who's doing this, right? Because dudes sagging their jeans was a thing for a long time. But there was no crack really coming out. There was the boxers exposed. So this is straight plumber's crack? That's different.
Well, Gen Z is, like, bringing back skinny jeans and, like, everyone else is going to wear it kind of in a more modern kind of a way. I know I can't go back there, not as low and exposed as I could do before kids.
I don't understand how these jeans are staying up because there's so much behind exposed. What magic? Are they taped on? How's this staying up?
I mean, it depends on who's wearing them.
Think about it. These models, while gorgeous, are really just hangers for the clothes. And runways are a way to like have the best kind of expression, right? We were just talking about that with the red carpet. We're going to see this come into stores and like into like mainstream in a little bit more modified kind of a way, not so extreme.
So when you say modified, low rise jeans will come back. We've been living with like these ultra high rise and they call them the mom jeans and all that. But this is coming back whether we like it or not.
It almost has to. We've got to keep things moving along. So we're not going to be high rise forever. There's a natural progression and it's just going to go low.
Oh, but it's so good to cover up that bottom little fat pouch that I have there.
I remember when Katy Perry's new video came out, the new album. That was the whole look she had there.
Well, she tried to bring back the thong under her, which oddly Lauren and I were part of that. We did a viral reel where we mimicked her, and it did very well. Because the truth of the matter is that middle-aged moms shouldn't be wearing like low-rise jeans with their thongs exposed. We shouldn't have been wearing them when we were in our 20s, let alone now.
Yeah.
But also coming back is the skinny jeans. And how skinny are they getting? Because that's another one that I was happy to see go.
That's tight.
The way I'm going to interpret it is just a much more kind of narrow version than what I've been doing. Something that like really kind of glides along the leg. You know, I used to wear them very, very tight. Now I'm just going to do something that kind of skims along my leg. You know, for spring, my ankle explodes a little bit and a nice mesh flat or something with like a sling back and a pointy toe and kind of balance everything a little differently.
Okay, so it's a modified skinny jean and it's a modified plumber's crack low-rise jean coming back.
That's wild.
Well, speaking of like the butts, though, we were talking about it at the Oscars. Zoe Kravitz, and not just her, a lot of people, that's becoming part of the fashion, is showing the top of your behind. It's like cleavage for your behind.
I ain't never seen nothing like that. Zoe Kravitz, I mean, she does it as well as anybody else can do it, but I don't know if anybody else can do it.
It's like a peekaboo. I don't know. Why do we want to see people's butts?
Well, hers is pretty cute. That screen door she had back there was looking pretty good.
I mean, she's Zoe Kravitz. She can do whatever.
Do you think mine will work? Do you think I could do it?
I think that's your next viral video.
Yeah. All right. If you want to follow Lauren, stylist Lauren, you can just head to Instagram, allthings_Lauren. Thank you so much, Lauren. Last year, the internet bashed this woman after this TikTok went viral when she said this.
This is the Cheesecake Factory, y'all.
What's the problem with that?
This is a chain restaurant. Who takes someone that looks like this to a chain restaurant?
Who takes somebody that looks like this to a chain restaurant? Cheesecake Factory. Boo!
Well, it's audio, not visual. I'm assuming that she looked great in that video clip. You know, the Cheesecake Factory, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, I love the food there, but it is quite a menu. If you're going with the first time with one person, it could take them literally an hour and a half to figure out what it is they're going to eat. I don't know about the chain thing, but, I mean, obviously that wasn't the place she wanted to go. It
right.
wasn't her vision.
But it's funny because the internet went nuts. Mm. They threw her under the bus. But now, of course, how things have changed is a little bit of time. TikTok has come together. They've done a lot of research.
Okay.
I mean, the people of TikTok, not the actual company.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've released a list of the worst places that no woman wants to go on a very first date.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, Cheesecake Factory, which everybody said, you know, back then would be a great place to go on a first date,
yeah.
has come in number one on the list.
As a place not to go?
Not to go.
I feel like TikTok is just doing something with the algorithms here, right? Like, they've seen the mentions before. So they're like, I'm going to play up to that. How can that be number one?
Because they actually say the opposite of what this woman says, where she's saying that Cheesecake Factory is beneath her.
Yeah.
It says that it's too upscale and it puts too much pressure on the daters. Like, kind of like what you said. It takes an hour and a half to decide what you want to eat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see it as a place where you know, drink your glass with your pinky sticking out. But either way, okay, right? It can be overwhelming.
I love the Cheesecake Factory. You could take me on a first date there all day.
But you know what you like, right? Like, you know which page to go to. And it is like a novel, right? Seriously. It really is. It's a big menu.
So coming in on the top five, it's all fast food restaurants for the most part, considering what you think fast food is. They're all chain restaurants. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
Number five, places that TikTok has agreed is not great for a first date, is the Olive Garden. I thought the Olive Garden's pretty good. You spent a little time in there. That check rings up pretty high, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It's got options, right? It's, you know, people are familiar with it. I don't think it's a terrible choice, and everybody loves breadsticks, all right? Even if it doesn't work out, you take two, I take two, we go home happy.
Number four is Chipotle for a place not to go out on a date. I had Chipotle last night. It was fine. I could understand why that's not really a date place. I mean, for a casual lunch meetup, I mean, sure, why not? Chipotle is actually in the news today because people are mad that they're starting to weigh their bowls because if it's too much, they'll take some of the
My Chipotle is a disaster.
Out.
I told you, I can't talk about Chipotle without getting angry.
Okay, number three is Chili's. And There was a reason why they chose Chili's. Hold on, let me see. Chili's is out because it's too messy and nobody should be sharing dipping sauce with a stranger.
I will agree this, all right? First date, you don't want to eat anything like ribs or whatever, anything like that that's going to be messy that you might be tempted to lick your fingers.
And number two on the list, you know, number one is Cheesecake Factory. Number two is Applebee's. And they say it's because it's a family restaurant and not a date place. Huh.
I worked at an Applebee's 1,000 years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I would agree with that. Yeah. It is more kind of like sports bar or family joint place.
Where would you think is not a place to take somebody on a first date?
Well, I think that you look at the 80s, right? Like you look at the 80s and 90s when I was, you know, a kid or a teenager, and all the things that they showed you in all those movies are probably all wrong at this point. Like an arcade or a mall. Malls are deserted. You don't go to the mall unless you want to get mugged for the most part. Well, I'm just saying.
I disagree.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, but arcades, you're not going to take your girlfriend to an arcade nowadays. That doesn't make any sense.
Karate Kid. I would love to go to an arcade.
Yeah, but you're a grown woman.
Okay.
It's different, right? Amusement park is tough, too. Like, you think it's fun, we're going to go, but what if somebody throws up?
How about a buffet? You shouldn't go to a buffet.
Number three on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
All right.
Anything like that where you can engorge yourself. And again, licking fingers.
Anywhere you have to lick your fingers is probably not a great first date. Save that for the second date, okay?
Right.
Top five places that TikTok, the women of TikTok, have agreed you should never take somebody on a first date. Number five, Olive Garden. Number four, Chipotle. Number three, Chili's. Number two, Applebee's. Number one, Cheesecake Factory. Doesn't matter how you feel about this. That's what they've decided.
Mm.
But Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, it comes to a bigger question. Second date. And how do you initiate the second date? One of my friends went on a great blind first date. I guess I shouldn't call it a blind date. They met on one of the apps and they met.
So they definitely saw each other.
They saw a picture of each other. So I guess I can't call it a blind date.
They questions about each other.
They wrote a bio.
Nobody set them up except a robot. Right.
Yeah. And she thought it went super great. So now this happened two nights ago and she hasn't heard from the dude yet and the guy. And she said to me, she's like, should I just reach out to him? And I was like, I don't know. Like, are you supposed to initiate a second date? And then it brought it all back. Like, what are the rules of asking for a second date? When do you do it? And are there rules anymore?
You know what? I mean, I just shy from the fact that when you meet somebody and you like them, all rules go out the window, right? This is not a game to be played, but a lot of people would disagree with that. They say that if you want to be effective, you really want to, you know, get somebody into that relationship to hit the next level, you have to contend with these rules. If I like somebody and we're out that first time, I say, when can I see you again? I would say, you know, when I'm dropping them off or when they're leaving or whatever it may be.
So true. I agree.
You think so? You think you initiate the second date during the first date?
Yeah. Yes. Make that move.
Right 100%. At the end. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys all agree on that?
Yeah.
Because it used to be, remember, that you had to wait 3 days.
Yeah.
Really? Before,
yes. Julie, whoa. You know, I know you're from a different generation.
Yeah, you couldn't text or anything for 3 days.
Wow.
You
right.
certainly would not call
no.
right away the next day. Mm. I mean, I would say, again, I think you're better off asking that night than you the next morning. Hey! But if you like somebody, tell them.
Yeah, you don't need to lock something in on that first date. Mm. But at the very end, hey, you know what? I had a great time. I would like to do this again if you're open to it. And then 3 days later, then be like, hey, we talked about whatever. How about a movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Julie, this is, interestingly enough, us being the women on this show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would you initiate a second date during a first date? Because I know I never would.
I want to know what my move is? Because I've only been on 2 second dates because I've been in longer term relationships both times.
Julie's got to move though in these
she's
2 dates.
Move.
All right, what's the move?
So you text after the date, like later on that night, and just say you had a nice time so they know you're still thinking about them and that date. It works both times.
It works both times.
She's beat red. She's beat red. Look at her. Beat red just talking about this. She's like, whatever. I made the move. Right, but did you agonize before you sent the text?
No.
Like, it worked the first time.
I'm on the same page as you. You just express your interest. There's no reason to play games.
Right.
That's a really good move, honestly, because if first of all, you say thank you for dinner, unless you, what if you paid for the bill? What if you picked up the bill?
Ooh.
So Julie, I you don't know this about me, but I used to have a thing.
Uh-oh. She had a thing.
I had a thing where I would never let a guy pay for me on a date because I never wanted them to expect anything.
That's I get that. Yeah. I get that. But if they ask for the date, they're paying. Yeah. That's how I am.
Also, Anna knew how to drive a manual shift transmission in case she ever had to get herself out of a situation and escape a kidnapping. That's
true.
Right.
My dad taught me.
Those are two things that she had.
My dad never wanted me drunk at a party where everybody was drunk and then there was only a stick shift car that had to be driven. He wanted me to do that.
Driven by a ravenous, terrible person that he would not want you dating. Right.
If you ever thought going to the Cheesecake Factory on a first date was too stressful, turns out you're not alone.
It's a lot. It's like, how many pages to that menu are there? There's like 18.
It's ridiculous. All right, so last year, a woman went viral because she said that she was too good looking to be going to the Cheesecake Factory on her first date.
Yeah.
And they released a list, TikTok, of the top places that you should never take a woman on her first date. Cheesecake Factory is number one. Applebee's, Chili's also on the list. But putting that aside, nobody ever talks about the second date.
Right.
Because that's the one that I think is harder because you don't really know how to initiate it if the other person doesn't and you feel awkward getting into that. Like, what do you do? How do you do it?
First date's like a jump in moment, right? Like, it's, you know, it's got the potential to be great. It's got the potential to be catastrophic. But when you go second date, it's like, I need to know more. We're getting into this. The interview process really, you know, gets serious at this point, I think.
So we went around the office because it used to be. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, but it used to be 3 days. You had to wait 3 days.
Minimum.
Yeah, before you reached out to somebody after a first date. And is that the same thing? How do you initiate a second date? Producer Julie went around the office to the office squad to find out.
What is your rule to initiate a second date?
My idea is nothing. If he is interested, he will call. So if they want to, they will. And I will wait and see if he calls. If he doesn't, then it wasn't meant to be.
I know as it sounds like old-fashioned, but I agree with that.
I mean, what if you really like them, though?
Why didn't they reach out to me?
I mean, but you got to put the hook out there. You don't know what could have happened the next day.
It's
true. Maybe their car broke down. Maybe somebody in their family got sick. Anything could have happened. Maybe they think you don't like them.
I know. It makes, when you say it, Raven, it makes all the sense.
You're playing
but I'm
so
like that.
Cool, but we don't know.
Mm.
First of all, you got to decide whether you want one or not. I mean, it's initiated. You both got to be willing. Willing, able, and...
How do you tell if it's a mutual thing that you should reach out for a second date?
If you had good conversation, if you were able to stand each other for the first date. Okay, if you can stand each other for the first date, chances are you can get a second date.
Who do you think should initiate the second date?
Either or, doesn't matter.
If the person has not completely repelled you, and you've decided that they're somewhat fine... That's how you figure out if you want to go on a second date?
I wonder what his love story is because both him and his wife are insane. I know them both, and they are both insane in a great way.
What is the best way to initiate a second date?
Well, I think you'd just be honest, right? You'd just say, hey, I had a good time. Mm-hmm. Want to hang out again? Right?
Who should it be initiating it?
I don't necessarily think it matters. You know, if we're all grown adults here. You know, at a certain point, you just kind of you get the vibe.
He's unmarried.
But it's sweet. And everything that everybody says makes sense.
Okay.
But how come it's still so difficult, right?
That's got to be right for their thing. Mm-hmm. Two people got to line up like that.
What is your rule to initiate a second date?
You got to text after the first date, see how the first date went. If they seem receptive and think that the first date went well, then you ask for the second date.
Who do you think should initiate it?
Whoever initiated the first date.
See, that seems like rules. And that's a guy who's actively dating. And he said, like, there's rules. After the first date, you send a follow-up. It's like when you go to a store and it sends you a survey afterwards.
I was going to say, it sounded like, I mean, I was going to use the word interrogation, but survey is better, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, what did you think? Rate it on a scale of 1 to 5.
Thank you for visiting Bloomingdale's. We would like to know more about your experience. On a rate of 1 to 5, how is the customer service? It's kind of the same thing. You have to send a follow-up text to see how you performed on the date.
Or you could just say, I like you. That's all.
I think that's weird. Big news.
Elon Musk's family tree is growing once again. The Tesla CEO confirms that he has welcomed his fourth baby with tech exec Siobhan Zylus, making him officially a dad to 14 children.
What?
Yeah.
Elon Musk has 14 kids?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that? You haven't been keeping a tally?
I didn't know there was 14 of them.
Here's what I want to know. Are all of them smart? Are any of them smart?
I don't know.
Are some of them idiots? I mean, I shouldn't say that. They're children. So, but I really want to know.
Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin. I knew that he was like into having a lot of kids. He's been outspoken about his belief in repopulation. He thinks that having children is crucial for humanity's future. We get it.
Good luck with that, bro. Good luck with that. I mean, when you're rich, he's rich, right? He doesn't have to worry about those little problems.
Mm. Yeah. They say supposedly he built a $35 million compound in Texas somewhere, and he wants to, like, bring them all together there. To me, it seems very Sister Wives. I don't know. I hear that, and I'm like, okay, four baby mamas, you got 14 kids, now you built them a compound?
Yeah, who gets along like that, right?
Maybe.
If it's not a cult or Charlie Sheen, I've never seen that happen before.
Well, if it's huge, like, think about it. If it's like 100 acres and you never have to see. Yeah.
Right.
Like, okay. And then I don't know.
You just get together for Thanksgiving for an entire week.
But I looked it up. Nick Cannon only has 12 kids compared to his 14.
Oh, jeez. What are you doing with your time, Nick Cannon? Get busy.
Come on now.
I was thinking about it. Like, there's got to be a lot of challenges. My cousin has four children, and you know, we're very close.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the struggles that she has with four kids. I only have two, so
sure.
And I go nuts every single day. I have to be so organized to be able to handle all their schedules and my work schedule. I cannot imagine having more than four kids. I just think in my mind, how do you juggle it?
I mean, paramount to me, first thing that jumps out at me, even if you have them all living on one compound, transportation. Like,
yeah.
You've got to build a monorail to just get your family around from one spot to the next. Oh, we're going to have a pool day. Well, that's going to take 3 hours to get them all.
You're going to get a van.
Even if they're 2 miles away.
It seems
crazy.
There has to be a huge van.
A shuttle.
Many vans.
Hardest part of having 14 kids. What do you think it is, Julie?
Well, the calendar. You must have a massive calendar. Like, I was just looking at my planner, and it's already full, and I'm just one person. 14 kids' schedules?
Right.
All I think about is how I spend my entire day yesterday between gymnastics and theater, and then picking up dinner, and then getting the other one back to theater.
Uh-uh.
And I was like, I was juggling. How do you do that when you have so many kids? How do you bring them to all their activities?
It's going
to
be a recital, or a sporting event, or a play, or something.
All
every
time.
Day.
Yep.
Yes.
Every weeknight.
Right.
Every weekend for the next 18 years.
I don't see Elon bringing the kids to soccer practice himself, though.
No, I don't know. True. He was in the, when he was in the Oval Office, like, not too long ago, he had one of the little ones on his shoulder. Very cute. But I was like, maybe
you can hold on to one, though.
What,
like a monkey. Yeah. Like, climbing all over you, you know? Like, I mean, I think the only trip that they're taking all together is maybe Mars.
Yeah.
Could
yeah.
be maybe Mars.
Maybe.
Imagine for your birthday, you want to go to Mars, and Dad's like, all right.
All right.
Yeah. I have a way.
It's your turn. Right.
Justin, hardest thing about having 14 kids.
I grew up with two brothers, and we all have J names. And so my entire life, between my parents and both sets of grandparents, no one could keep our name straight.
Well, I was just thinking about this.
I was
this.
Called everything except Justin for
yes.
years.
Yeah. I don't know what my problem is. I blame it on mommy brain, but I call the wrong name. They're 10 years apart. One
sure.
is 6 and one is 16. I have Dakota and Hayden. I mix up their names when I'm talking about them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. I have two. How do you do when you have 14? How do you know their names? And he names them those symbols.
I was going to say,
yeah.
How do you come up with those names? Yeah.
I don't know. It was so strange. I was going grocery shopping, and I saw this man as I was about to pull into the parking lot, and he was standing to the left, and he looked really agitated. He looked a little gruffy is the best way I could describe him. His hair was disheveled. He had on a backpack. He had on a big sweatshirt that was open. And he had something in his hand. And out of nowhere, this was like a busy grocery store shopping lot, he threw it as hard as he could.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck is that? I'm looking at it. And I go and I see a car drive over it, you know, in the lot. And
whatever,
like,
it is he threw fell back on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he threw it a solid, without exaggeration, 20 to 30 feet.
Okay.
He really flung whatever it was. And I was so curious as to what this grown man would possibly throw in a parking lot where there's a lot of people and a lot of cars just for no reason. And he seemed so angry. So I park my car. I go to pick it up. And it's a boomerang. He threw a boomerang. And I, you know, being me, I'm like,
yeah, it not being Australia.
I was like, I'm gonna get this boomerang.
You were fascinated by the situation.
So I picked it up and I threw it in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a little broken. Like, there's like one, it's like a broken wing.
Yeah.
It seems like, but I think we could duct tape it. But I was like, do we even know anything about boomerangs? Does anybody even have boomerangs anymore?
Here's the thing. I love Australia, Anna. And the internet is an amazing place. And there is a shocking amount of boomerang videos, as a matter of fact, including this weirdo right here.
Hello, I'm Namnus. I make wooden boomerangs, which I sell on my webshop. And now I'm going to show you how it flies and returns.
He just threw it, and then the boomerang came back to him. Nominus told us nothing else about how to do it,
though. Nominus sells them online. I feel like I'm going to buy one.
Here's the thing, too. I don't think that's an Australian accent, do you?
Hello, I'm Nominus.
No, I don't think that's Australian.
Nominus boomerangs. Nope, I don't know, but nope. I'm going to give him business, just so you know.
But here is a real individual with Aboriginal ancestral background, and he is a guide down there in Australia, and he tells us about the boomerang.
Okay. Now I'm going to demonstrate how to throw a boomerang. First of all, there were many different boomerangs used in Aboriginal culture, and they all had different purposes. A club boomerang would be used to finish off an animal. A hook boomerang was used in warfare. And as you can see, this is a returning boomerang.
I only thought that there was only one kind of boomerang. I gotta be honest.
Who knew they were used as weapons at one point, too?
Yeah.
Well, the boomerang I have is plastic, so I don't think it was to retrieve animals or anything like that. Now, I think it was a toy.
There is a lot of stuff on here about aerodynamics, but I've used some Scotch magic tape for the one part that it was a little bit bent. This is a foam boomerang, not a wooden one, not a metal one, so I think we should be okay. But when it comes to actually throwing it, Anna, this is the thing the guy in the parking lot probably didn't know.
When you throw a boomerang, it should be 45 degrees on an angle like that and 30 degrees into the air. Just hold it behind your head and flick with the wrist.
See? Okay. Just like I'm doing.
Flick with the wrist.
Just flick with the wrist.
45-degree angle and 30 degrees into the air. We'll give it a go.
And then you're going to say something Australian after. Be like, we'll give it a go. Mate.
Mate. That's right.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Wait. I have no idea. 45 degrees
at like 30 this. Degrees. So 30 degrees.
That seems really complicated for me.
Well,
if the guy threw it out of frustration and clearly it did not return to him because it ends up in the middle of the parking lot at the grocery store, it probably doesn't work. It's probably broken.
I wouldn't go with frustration. Look at it like a wiffle ball thing. Like, you know, the harder you hit is not necessarily going to be the better. You gotta feel the flow. Like, give it a go.
Okay.
Give it a go like that did, dude. Mate. All right. And then, you know, 45 degrees and 30 degrees.
Oh, like crikey. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go outside and we're going to try this. It's next.
Is it weird for me to say that I don't know that I've recently been this excited in any different portion during the show? I'm excited, Anna.
What if I'm the world's greatest boomerang thrower?
I mean, then
you didn't even know it.
Yeah, right. You'll immediately retire from the show and then go on to the Boomerang Olympics, apparently. Well, you'll live on as a legendary status. Anna found a boomerang from a weird individual that was walking around in her town at the grocery store. And for whatever reason,
He threw it.
Yeah.
He threw it in the middle of the grocery store parking lot. He was so mad about it. I went over to see what it was that he threw, and it was this boomerang.
Right. So now the boomerang has been repaired because it did have a break in it. And you're ready and prepared outside to give it a go and see whether or not you throw it. Here's an Aboriginal tribesman to tell us exactly about how to do this.
When you throw a boomerang, it should be 45 degrees on an angle like that and 30 degrees into the air. Just hold it behind your head and flick with the wrist. We'll give it a go.
You know, I'm going to tell you that I've been watching Anna. She hasn't actually thrown the boomerangs. There's been no practice of throws, but she's been, you know, working her arm outside there. And I'm not sure that you understand enough about 45 and 30 degrees. But as he says, we're going to give it a go.
No, hold on. I didn't do well in math. So hold on. There's a car coming. We have to move.
Car.
I can't hit it with the boomerang. Car!
Right.
Car! Yeah, let me move. All right, it's driving by. Okay, they're giving us a weird look. All right, here we go. Let's return to where we were. All right. So I got to throw it on a 45-degree angle, 30 degrees in the air. Two numbers that mean absolutely nothing to me.
Right,
perfect. Are you ready to do it? I know we're filming
and then
this.
Flick
you
the wrist.
Me from the window?
Yes, I can see you from the window. Flick the wrist when you release it, okay?
Flick the ball on 45 and 30. Oh, gosh. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
On my mark, I am going to be so good at this. Universe,
a lot
I am going to throw boomerangs. Ready, go. Oh, whoa. Return to me. Hold on. I'm going to do it again.
All right, go again. It did not return to her.
It bounced. Hold on. It bounced 20 feet in the air when it hit the ground.
Why did you throw it at the ground?
I don't know. I was confused about the 30 degrees. Hold on. One more time.
30 degrees ready? Up, not down.
Return to me, boomerang. On my mark, return to me, boomerang. Ready? Throw it up, 30 degrees.
Yeah.
No! If it didn't hit the building, it was coming back to me. If it didn't hit the building, it was coming back to me.
Is that true, Justin?
We're going to do this. We did it. I know how to throw a boomerang. All right, Raven, finish the show. I'm going to throw the boomerang for the next hour.
It looked like it went like 15 feet to me, but we're going to see, and you'll be able to check out the video at Hannah and Raven.
I'm so good.
Okay, boomerang champion. We'll see you in a minute.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide, well, who's right. Couples Court is powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like blind spot intervention come in. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Evan and Carly. Evan, what's going on?
Carly has been working as an independent fashion designer for like the past 3 years, right? The problem is she just isn't that good at it. Multiple places have told her they aren't interested in her fashion line, and she doesn't even have a degree in fashion. So, like, multiple places don't even give her the time of day. I just think it's time for her to give up. She should get at least a part-time job and do this fashion thing on the side.
Okay.
Carly.
That's a lot and hurtful.
Yeah, that feels terrible. Carly, what do you have to say to all this?
Well, I think my husband's being cruel and unfair, and I have this one life I get to live, and why can't I just pursue my dreams and him just be supportive no matter what?
Because it doesn't make money. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Who says 3 years is the end mark for, you know, if it doesn't work out? Like, some people get successful in 5 years or 10 years. Like, there's no magic year marker that says this is when you'll be successful.
Right, but I mean, you know, we need money, and I mean, if you could do something, maybe, I don't know, work at like an upscale store or something to bring in some money and do this fashion thing on the side, maybe?
Well, right. I mean, Carly, why wouldn't you agree to that? If it's been 3 years and you've been trying to pursue this full time and it's not bringing in enough income to support your family, why wouldn't you be open to finding something that would bring in some income while continuing to chase this dream on the side?
Anna, fashion is a lifestyle. It's my life.
Maybe because I feel like if I get a part-time job, then my focus will be, you know, diverted away from my main passion, which happens to people all the time.
Mm-hmm. What would have happened if George Clooney gave up on acting, Anna, before he got ER? Okay? What would have happened?
That was like 10 years.
Yeah, 30-something when he got that gig.
Amy Poehler was waiting tables for 10 years before she got on Saturday Night Live.
See?
She was waiting tables. You want to know why? Because she had bills to pay.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if during that 10 years she was just sleeping on the doorstep of SNL. Yeah. Somebody might have noticed her, you know, sooner than that. They might have noticed.
Yeah, but those actors, you know, they start small. Like, you know, Harrison Ford was a carpenter.
Yes, we know the carpenter story. If you love Harrison Ford, like all men do between the age of...
Definitely didn't know that story.
30 and 70, we all know it. Yes, he was a great carpenter.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're thinking about our dream, you know, we're willing to go ahead and get rid of logic and, you know, dream of winning the Powerball, dream of the three-pointer from half court with, you know, time expiring. Unfortunately, practically speaking, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. But it doesn't mean that it's impossible. I think it is hurtful, Carly. I think it is cruel. At the same time, you know, it can be pretty rough if there's nothing coming in and there's plenty going out.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, by the way, George Clooney, he was on like some sitcoms before.
Okay, let's leave all the celebrities out of it.
All right.
Let's worry about you guys.
I'm just saying he was old.
Well,
bro.
You brought it up.
How about this? I will compromise. Give me another year, and if it doesn't work out, I will get a full-time job.
Well, you know what? Let's see what the audience has to say. At that point, it's been 3 years already.
Mm-hmm.
She's asking for another year. Do you give that to your wife to pursue this full-time before she has to give up on her dreams? It's been 3 years since Carly has been pursuing her fashion line. She doesn't really have a huge background in fashion. This is something new that she's really been trying to pursue, and it's kind of like a dream of hers. And Evan, her husband, says, yeah, right, you did it. and you kind of failed and you're not making any money, and now it's time for you to go get another job. But she says, I can't just give up. Like, I have to keep doing it and going for it every single day. You have to at least give me one more year.
What I think is pretty jarring is Evan's, you know, the way that he addresses it, right? But, you know, you have to feel for the situation and say maybe he's just come to a point where, you know, he's dropped the hints. He's talked about the different things and, you know, Carly's just not picking up on it. And what he's saying is like, we need money coming in. Right, we can't just not have money coming in from now until the end of time while you go ahead and pursue this.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm a black and white person. Like, you just put it out on the table. So I understand what Evan's saying. 3 years you've dedicated to this, you have failed. Now you need to figure out a way to actually get some income to help this family.
Yeah, but plenty of people fail at something longer than 3 years and then come out being the biggest thing ever.
That's true. What do you think? Whose side are you on? Marlene?
I agree with the husband. There's bills to pay. She should get a part-time job. She could get a job in a bridal boutique or whatever her fashion thing is, work part-time and pursue her dream. But I think 3 years is a good time that he gave her.
The Couples Court verdict is brought to you by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. At what point do you tell your spouse, listen, you got to give up on these dreams and start making some actual money?
Mm.
That's what's been going on with Evan and Carly. For the last 3 years, she's been chasing her dream of being a fashion designer. She doesn't have much background in it, but she's been heavily pursuing it. And all the feedback she has gotten has been terrible, and she hasn't been very successful at all.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes one yes, though, right? And that's the problem, right? So, you know, when you have something that is a hard goal to attain, you know, you've got to dedicate yourself to it. Hardly ever do you hear about somebody who's wildly successful and it was just an easy path, right? So there's the hard part. So what point do you give up on your own dreams? Also, I understand why Carly's pushing back and saying, Evan, I need a little bit more time. Give me another year here.
Yeah, but she doesn't even want to work part-time to get some income
until
coming
then.
In. Right. She wants another full year of full-time pursuing this. What do you think? Claudia, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. One of the very important things is she does not have the education in fashion. So it's not that he's not helping her pursue her dreams, but, you know, she's in a market that requires the education.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or at least an in, right? Some sort of success, right? Hey, Gino, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Oh, man, it's very obvious. I would tell that brother, like brother to brother, you should get rid of her and find another one if you don't have kids, or get her to work, because life is not about chilling at home.
Well, I don't think she wants to chill at home. I think she just wants to keep chasing her dreams, which
right.
is admirable. But going back to what Claudia said, if you don't have a background and you didn't study for it, I think it's harder than if you actually went through all the right channels.
I don't know if that's true. I think that you need to have an in. I mean, I don't know that you need a degree. I don't think people look at degrees anymore as the way that they used to. Chris, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side. I think she should pursue her dreams, and I think the husband should support her in her dreams.
You know, it's funny because I tend to be on Evan's side and think like, well, 3 years you haven't done well. And at this point, you really need to bring money in. But then I think about it. And if it wasn't for my own husband supporting me, I wouldn't be sitting in the seat I'm in right now.
Right. Yeah. What were you making after 3 years in this?
Right. Exactly.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Evan, our audience agreed with you. Nope, that's enough. 3 years is enough. There's no reason why you can't multitask and get a part-time job that's bringing in some income and continue to chase your dreams.
I agree. And just like you said, Amy Poehler waited tables for 10 years, right? Or supposedly.
Yeah, no, she told me that, actually.
Yeah.
She made money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice that Amy Poehler did that, and it worked out for Amy Poehler.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it works out for you, Carly. Carly, you going to be okay? Maybe a job in retail or another, you know, fashion part-time thing that you can do right now, and then just sneak your stuff in there.
Yeah, be close to the industry, but make money.
I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and maybe that wouldn't be a bad route, but I still don't want to just drop my passion. This is my dream, guys.
Yeah, but it could still be your dream. It's just going to be your dream on the side, and hopefully once it takes off, then this is all a non-issue.
I mean,
that's the end of it.
You add a part-time gig, right? You do this at home. You know, you're still, you know, there's plenty of hours in the day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, or you know, find like a fashion designer you really, really admire and work for them and learn from them.
Well, we've done the best we can, and we wish you the best of luck. And if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$8,200 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven, powered by Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Okay, I've got Mike, Liz, Chris, and Nick. You guys ready to play?
We're ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, buddy, could you step out for a minute?
You got it. Good luck, you guys. $8,200.
I like a whole team effort. How do you know each other?
It's my wife and kids.
Oh, perfect. Okay, family time. Here we go. We got five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Let's go.
Number one, Morgan Freeman gave a heartfelt tribute to his friend Gene Hackman during the Oscars. They starred together along with Clint Eastwood in what 1992 Western film?
Unforgiven.
Number two, many stars went to the Oscar after parties, and one of the most famous is the one held by what monthly magazine that focuses on pop culture, fashion, and current affairs?
Vanity Fair.
Number three, Adrian Brody made history with the longest acceptance speech ever at almost 6 minutes. He thanked his partner, Georgina Chapman, and her two children. Who is their infamous biological father?
No idea.
Number four, today's Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. The person that finds the plastic what in the traditional king cake is supposed to have good luck all year.
Baby.
And number five, the release date for March's highest profile video game by Ubisoft has been pushed to the 20th. The first five games in the series, it's one of the most popular games of all time, follows Desmond Miles. What video game series is this?
Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
You.
3 out of 5.
All right, not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Morgan Freeman gave a heartfelt tribute to his friend Gene Hackman during the Oscars. They starred together along with Clint Eastwood in what 1992 Western film?
Unforgiven. What a testament to who Gene Hackman was, because those scenes are not easy to watch. Racially charged and everything. And it just shows you how good they really both were at their craft.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman said he made everybody on the screen a better actor.
That's, I think, the best compliment you could pay to somebody.
Number two, many stars went to the Oscar after parties, and one of the most famous is the one held by what monthly magazine that focuses on pop culture, fashion, and current affairs?
Vanity Fair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Number three, Adrian Brody made history with the longest acceptance speech ever at almost 6 minutes. He thanked his partner, Georgina Chapman, and her two children. Who is their infamous biological father?
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein is correct. Number four, today is Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. The person that finds the plastic what in the traditional king cake is supposed to have good luck all year?
Is it a bracelet? No.
No, it's a baby. It's a plastic baby.
No, it's a plastic baby.
Number five, the release date for March's highest profile video game by Ubisoft has been pushed to the 20th. The first five games in the series, that's one of the most popular of all time, follows Desmond Miles. What video game series is this?
Is that Uncharted?
No, it's Assassin's Creed.
Oh, that was my next guess!
All right, I'm sorry, guys. You guys tied at 3. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Mike, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, you guys. $8,300 tomorrow, Anna. You're going to have to rip that shirt up and, you know, share it amongst yourselves.
Did somebody in the background just yell, "You blew it"?
She said I knew it, because as soon as you read question 5 again, I was like, it's Assassin's Creed.
Oh, no, that would have been the win. I'm sorry, guys. Hold on the line. We're going to get all your info. And I want to thank Rebecca. She supplied that question, Assassin's Creed, today. And if you have an idea for a question, too, you could submit it at annaonraven.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.